Okay, Laurie, if you are there, could you start the recording, please?
Yes, thank you. Hey, at this time I have started the recording, and if anybody has objections, please disconnect, and you may begin when you're ready.
Thanks, Laurie. Okay, now we'll start the official part of this. Hello, everyone. This is Tony Hutchison, BK5ZAI, your moderator for today. Through the help of amateur radio volunteers and the crew on the ISS, we soon hope to establish radio contact with the International Space Station as it flies more than 350 kilometres above the Earth over the Goddard Space Flight Centre in Maryland, USA. This is all accomplished with ARIS, amateur radio on the International Space Station. The ISS is currently flying over British Columbia in Canada, whizzing along at around 27,000 kilometres per hour. The contact today will be performed using the ARIS Telebridge Network, a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enables students to contact the ISS. The audio for today's contact will also be available live around the world via the amateur radio EchoLink network, handled by Graham, G7EVY, in Lancashire, United Kingdom. Thanks, Graham. ARIS is a consortium of volunteers of nine nations that develop and operate the amateur radio equipment on board the International Space Station. Those that support ARIS are the American Radio Relay League, the Worldwide AMSAT Amateur Radio Satellite Corporation, Canadian Space Agency, Japanese Space Agency, European Space Agency, and NASA. The amateur radio ground station that will establish contact with the ISS today is K6DUE, located at the Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland, operated by Dave Taylor, W8AAS, and assisted by Mark Steiner, K3MS, and Bernie Hahn, N6ZOA. And I believe they have a few extras there as well. Thanks for helping us out today, guys.
Thank you, Tony. We're glad to be here.
We now have around about 4 minutes to go. Our link today is the students from the Hobart Primary School in Hobart, Tasmania. Now let's check in with the school. We've asked their teachers, Dallas Honoree, please tell us about the school and students that are taking part today. Thanks, Dallas.
G'day there, everybody. Let's tell you a few things about South Hobart Primary School. It's located in the small city of Hobart, and it's Australia's second oldest city. The school began operations in 1858, when it was called the Upper Macquarie Street School. The physical setting is dominated by Mount Wellington, which at the moment is covered in snow, and the historic Hobart Rivulet runs along the school's western boundary. South Hobart School caters to students from kindergarten to grade 6, with an age range from 5 to 12. The school has 10 classes, and about 250 students, and the numbers are growing. The students who attend the school come mainly from the suburbs of South Hobart, as well as the communities of Fern Tree and Ridgeway. Besides talking to astronauts, the students of South Hobart are involved in many school-based activities, such as the chess club, inter-school sports, Scottish country dancing. We have a very active school choir, and Science Week in Australia has just finished, and it was recognised by all classes learning about biodiversity and sustainability. It's our school's goal to nurture students, promote a positive attitude to life and learning, and to develop skills that will enable children to be active participants in the community for both the now and the future. Over.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Dallas, rather. I'm sorry. Dave, before the contact begins, would you like to tell us a little bit about the station and how you handle the conversation?
Certainly, Tony. Our station is located at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, which is in Maryland, near Washington, D.C. We have radio connected to some directional antennas that we can steer and point at the station as it crosses the sky. The pointing and frequency changes on the radio are controlled by a computer tracking system. And switching between transmit and receive is done manually. I will be doing that. We have an interlink from the radio to the telephone network. And And we'll be counting on the students and also Doug on the space station to say over as they finish each question and answer. When I hear over, I use that to tell me when to switch the radio between transmit and receive. So we're looking forward to the contact, and back to you, Tony.
Thanks, Dave. Don't forget to say over, all the students, and speak clearly and concisely so as Doug can hear you. We have about 30 seconds to go, so Dave, it's over to you in Maryland, and good luck.
Okay, thank you, Tony. I'm going to open the squelch on the receiver, which will put a loud hiss on the telephone line, and start calling the station, and out of that hiss, we will at some point hear Doug calling us back. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is K6DUE calling, over. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is K6DUE calling on schedule, over. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is K6DUE calling, over. NA1SS, this is K6DUE. I heard you very faintly, Doug. We'll pause a minute and let you get a bit closer. Over.
Kilo 6 Delta Uniform Echo. This is November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra, the International Space Station. Over.
NA1SS, this is K6DUE. You're coming in a little better, Doug. Give me another call, please. Over.
Okay, I've got you faint, clear, but pretty faint. Turn the volume up a little bit, and looks like we're just coming into coverage. Good morning to you, and thank you for setting this up with the school.
Okay, Doug, that's sounding very good. Glad to have you. NA1SS, K6DUE, and we will switch over to the school. Go ahead with your first question.
Hi, this is Felix asking Dexter's question. How long and wide is the space station? Over.
NA1SS from K6DUE, how copy? NA1SS, NA1SS, K6DUE.
National Space Station. Colonel Doug Wheelock aboard. Good morning to you. At Kilo 6 Delta Uniform Echo, this is November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra. How do you read me out? Over.
NA1SS from K6DUE. Okay, we paid it out for a bit there, Doug, but you're back again. Over.
Okay, I've got you loud and clear now. Thank you, and I'm ready for the students if they're available.
Okay, Felix, go ahead with your question again, please.
Hi, this is Felix asking Dexter's question. How long and wide is the space station? Over.
Yes, you're coming in now. This is Colonel Doug Wheelock from the International Space Station. Good day to you, and I'm ready for your questions about flying in space. Over.
Hi, this is Felix asking Dexter's question. How long and wide is the space station? Over.
Hi, Felix. Good day to you. That's a great question, and the the space station is about the size of a soccer field, about the size of a football field, and the livable part where we live is a tube that runs down through the middle, sort of like a trail that you would have for a hamster or a gerbil or something that you would have for a pet, and we put it together like in tubes, and we live in the middle part, and then the truss that runs the length of the, about the size of a soccer field, has our solar arrays and radiators on it. Over.
Hi, this is Ruben. What are the types of emergencies that can happen on the ISS, and can I fire ignite in geogravity? Over.
Hi, Ruben. That's a great question. And then we actually had a fire drill that we practiced yesterday, just in case of a fire. The three big worst types of emergencies that we can have in space are, of course, a fire, and then a rapid decompression if we lose pressure in the space station, and then a toxic spill of some sort, like ammonia we use in the cooling loops, or some sort of toxic equipment that we have for science experiments and things. And so those are the three emergencies that we have. And yes, we can have a fire aboard the space station. That'd be a very dangerous event. That's a great question, Ruben. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Alex. What are some of the experiments that you've done, and what's one of your favorites? Over.
Very, very good question, Alex. And we've done a lot of experiments, and we're doing a lot of science this week and in the next couple of weeks. And we're doing a lot of our studies are studies of the Earth, the atmosphere, and our environment to help farmers plant crops and to look at the use of land and things. And then we also do experiments on the human body. One of my favorites is an experiment called the Marangoni Bridge, which is named for a physicist, Carlo Marangoni, that lived maybe 200 years ago. And he was studying fluid science, fluid mechanics, and the behavior of things in fluids. And when you get to space, one of the interesting things about fluids, about water, about anything that you're drinking, is that it coalesces into a ball, and with gravity doesn't pull it, it's more of a perfect medium to transport things. And so we look at the transport of energy across a liquid bridge, and also the transport of pharmaceuticals in the body, so we can find a better way to come up with things that can combat illnesses that we face as humans on Earth. It's a very good question, Alex.
Hi, my name is Angela. How does it feel to do a spacewalk? Is it scary, and how many have you done? Over.
Very good question, Angela. Good day to you. It feels wonderful to do a spacewalk. It is a little scary, I'll have to admit. It's a little bit scary. But we go through a lot of training to get us ready to go outside on a spacewalk. I've done six spacewalks now. I've got maybe 43 hours of time outside the space station. It's very invigorating, very exciting, and it's just wonderful to be outside and looking through your visor at the Earth and at the stars in space. And we're going to do one more spacewalk. That's a great question, Angela.
Hi, I'm Marcus. How many countries are involved in the ISS, and what countries do the astronauts actually come from? Over.
Hi, Marcus. Well, we have an astronaut from Australia, Andy Thomas. I don't know if you've ever heard of Andrew Thomas, but we've also got several countries involved, maybe 20 countries involved in the space station, and the astronauts that you see were from the U.S., from NASA, and also cosmonauts from Russia, but we've now got astronauts from all over the European nations, and also Australia, and now England as well, so we're We're venturing out and becoming a real international partnership aboard the space station. So maybe one day, Marcus, you'll be an astronaut and you'll be up here with us on the space station. Over.
Hi, my name's Leah. How many people can live on the space station at any one time? Over.
Good question, Theo. And right now we have 6 people on board. We have 3 American astronauts and 3 Russian astronauts, cosmonauts. And we can hold a little bit more, but it's comfortable to do the science and to live in space with about 6 people on board the space station. Over.
Hi, it's Gabe here. Is the issue of space junk a concern, and how does the ISS steer to avoid it?
Good question, Gabriel. Yes, space junk is a concern because we're traveling so fast around the Earth. We're traveling at 17,500 miles per hour, which is about 5 miles per second, which is 28,000 kilometers per hour, or about 8 kilometers per second. And so it's pretty fast. And the space junk that's orbiting is traveling at the same speed. And so if you collide at that very same speed, it's very, very dangerous for the space station. And we have, to steer the space station, we have thrusters on board that fire, little jets that fire, where we can change our altitude, we can change our orientation to avoid the contact.
Okay, we're heading over the horizon here.
Everyone can give him a big thank you. You can probably still hear.
A big cheer, everyone.
Big cheer.
Hey! Anyone at this? Hey, thanks to UE. We've lost you there. Thank you.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we have 3 questions and not answered. There's Johannes, Bo, and Joe's. Now, I'm just wondering, Dave, who is operating the radio, works for NASA, and Dave, would you be able to answer those questions for the 3 students as best you can for the students that didn't get their questions answered?
You didn't give me time to do my research there, Tony.
put you on the spot.
Generally speaking, for Johan's question, I think they adjust to zero gravity pretty quickly mentally. A bigger problem is their bodies adjusting to the gravity. That takes a day or two, I think, going up, and maybe about the same time when they get to Earth. Sometimes if they don't exercise enough, they're pretty weak. And Bo, with the waste, that's all collected in bags and thrown overboard. Well, actually, it's generally thrown onto the Progress space station or spaceship that the Russians send up. And every so often, it brings up supplies, they fill it with trash, and then they let it go, and it burns up on reentry into the Earth's atmosphere. So all of their waste gets burned up and turns into dust in the air. And Joe, up on the space station, they have fairly good communications with the Earth now. They have internet connection from time to time. They use an internet telephone so that they can talk to their families. And NASA keeps them up to date with news and relaying television programs or big sporting events, things of that sort. Go ahead, Tony.
Thanks, Dave. Sorry to put you on a spot like that. Johannes, question. I know it takes them a little longer to adapt back into gravity. In 2001, I was over there and I met Bill Shepard about 4 days after he had landed back on Earth. I think Bill spent about 4 months up there, and he was quite stiff. The back has to take a lot of weight that it's not used to, and also their feet. I can remember Andy Thomas telling me that it took him probably close to a month to get used to sort of feeling fit again with and his feet when he first came about, felt very heavy, but it took a while before they lightened off. But after 2 or 3 months, he told me one time that he thinks he was fitter when he came back than when he went. Of course, while they're up there, they are exercising every day. They exercise for about an hour against springs. Of course, they haven't got any weights up there. Well, they got weights, but they don't weigh anything, so they have to exercise against springs and exercise bikes, that type of thing. Okay, well, that is the contact. I'm sorry we didn't get enough time to answer the other three questions. We had a little bit of a problem at the start of the contact for one reason or another with interference. But I'd like to thank Dave and everyone up there, and I'll just close it off by saying, ladies and gentlemen, we've just shared a moment in history. Amateur radio station K6DUE, operated by Dave Taylor and assisted by Mark Steiner and Bernie Hand, contacted astronaut Doug Wheelock, KF5BOC, aboard the International Space Station, who spoke with students of the South Hobart Primary School in Hobart, Australia. Now, for the international volunteer team of ARIS, including the amateur radio satellite corporations around the world, the American Radio Relay League, Canadian Space Agency and the European Space Agency, and the Japanese Space Agency and NASA, this is Tony Hutchison, amateur radio operator VK5ZAI in Kingston, Southeast, South Australia, sending my greetings to all of you in amateur radio terms, 73s, which means best wishes. Thanks, everyone.
Tony, thanks for your involvement, and thanks to everyone involved. And a big cheer from all involved here. Go ahead.
Thanks, Justin, and Dallas, and if I get to Tassie next year, I might even call in to South Hobart Primary School and say hi to you all. We certainly hope to get down there sometime in the not-too-distant future. Thanks, Graham, for doing the recording on Echo Link, and also thank you, Laurie, for your linking us all up today, and you can stop the recording now. I think I thanked everyone, and once again, a successful contact, although it would have been nice to have a couple more questions answered. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, Tony. Yeah, sorry for about that fading at the beginning. I'm not sure what happened. He was coming up real well and then faded away again.
Yes, he disappeared.
That's
some
nice detailed answers.
Yes, Doug always does give fairly long answers, which takes up a little bit of time, and unfortunately didn't get them all done today. But never mind, it was, as we always say, it is an experiment. Well,
yeah.
We'll all let you guys catch up on your beauty sleep now.
All right, thank you. Have a good evening there, and talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Graham. In
England. Cheers, all. We'll catch up with you on Wednesday. Take care.
Thanks, Graham. And thanks to the South Hobart Primary School, and good afternoon, good evening to everyone.
Cheers, Tony.